Well, good morning. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, at this time to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. James, he presents to us what the perfect Christian looks like, the mature model of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, he tells us you can either become like Jesus the easy way, by obeying his word. Simply read his word and do what it says. Then he begins to also tell us, but most of us do not go through this simple process of reading God's word and graciously growing. For the majority of us, when we commit to being a follower of Christ, we don't grow, but God does what? He stretches us. And often, most often in the Christian life, the Christian's experience is that true spiritual growth comes through this process of God making us uncomfortable and stretching us. Trials and tribulation, and you see that Christian maturity and Christian growth is a response of difficulties in our life. And then we took a look at chapter 2, and we began to see that just like spiritual growth and maturity and trials go together, faith and works go together. And we've been kind of looking at that. Last week, we'll be looking at that concept, this inseparable union between true, genuine, mature faith in Jesus Christ and works. There was a recent Barna study. It kind of studied why people aren't going to church anymore. Well, obviously, we would all say, well, most people just aren't believers. They don't believe, so why wouldn't they go to church? But this survey kind of dove in a little bit more specifically, and they found there were two equal reasons. Between 35 and almost 40% of respondents equally said the number one reason. These are people who believe in God, but say, you know what, I have no time for church. All right, what do you think those two other major responses were? So not because they just don't believe, but people said, yes, I believe, but I really don't have any time for church. What do you think that was? Some of you probably may have guessed. Hypocrisy! Christians don't practice what they preach. They're pretenders. Hypocrisy. It really means somebody who wears a mask or who's playing a part. And the world, or many people, look at professors of Jesus Christ, say, we're Christians, and say, you're just pretending. You're not the real deal. You're not sincere. You're not genuine. You say one thing, but you do another. So, hypocrisy. Now, it's funny. I would say people who give for their reason, say, you know what, I don't go to church because, you know, hypocrites go to church. I think, well, wait a minute, aren't you a hypocrite? By saying I'm not going to go to church because, you know, Christians are just hypocrites, you're becoming a hypocrite, because the Bible teaches that true followers of Christ should gather together regularly and worship. So you're claiming to be the true follower of Christ, and you're saying, and you do that by not following Christ and one of his instructions to gather together, or not following the word of God. It says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So this one group becomes a hypocrite by rejecting hypocrisy. You see the irony. Well, I'm a true follower of Christ. And then the other group, this is even more interesting. There's another group who says, you know what? I don't go to church because I just don't have, you know, it just doesn't align with how I think things should be done. I don't see it as relevant. And I you know, all the things, I'm not really a proponent of what? You've heard it? Organized religion. They claim to be spiritual, but they would say, you know what, organized religion. I have a problem not with, God and Christianity or, you know, the teachers of the Bible, but organized religion. And I think that's really convenient. That's just a pass for saying I don't want to be a hypocrite either. So I'll make a whole religion where, how can I ever become a hypocrite, right? If I make all the rules and all the regulations, do you see that? So both of them at the heart of it is pride, arrogance, and they fall into hypocrisy, or at least an attempt to reject hypocrisy. You ever think about that? One group says, no, that's where all the hypocrites go. I'm not going to go there, and they become a hypocrite. And the other says, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I'll just make my own religion, my own rules to follow. James puts forward in Scripture here, chapter 2, what it means to be a dedicated, true follower of Jesus Christ. And he says, a true follower of Jesus Christ is not playing a part. They're not wearing a mask. They're not a hypocrite. They're somebody who not only reads God's word, talks about God's word, but they follow God's word sincerely. And he begins to give scriptural examples. We are kind of taking this chapter, not in sequential order. I've been kind of jumping around. Have you noticed that? And again, it's just because of the Hebrew form of thought. It's not really like the Greek or today, that how we think in these logical boom, 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 or how we see logical, point one, point two, point three. They kind of do this. And so as I've tried to break this down for you in the study of James, sometimes it just seems like, I'm trying to give it to you in the way that we think, all right? So it's not going to go verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4. It's going to take a section, and then we might take a section from, what he talks about later, and we'll take that first, all right? Before we dive into this morning, would you pray with me? And we'll begin to look at some of the scriptural examples of how true, genuine faith involves works. Dear Holy Father, we thank you that you are a gracious God and that we're saved through faith, that there wasn't a work that you required for our salvation. The true work that was required for salvation was accomplished through Jesus Christ on the cross. And simply we come to him by faith. We trust in his righteousness, his ability to keep the law, and the fact that he even paid the penalty for our sin and our sinful works. So Lord, this morning as we come before your word, we give thanks because we're saved by faith. We're saved by grace and mercy and forgiveness we received through Jesus Christ from the Father when he declared us righteous because of his Son's righteousness. Yet, Lord, as we have committed to follow you, Lord, we ask that through your Spirit and through your word that you would help us be more like Jesus. Complete the work you began in us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So would you look at James chapter 2, verse 21, and we get this in, what do we call that? The celebrity endorsement, right? You ever see somebody's trying to sell a product or something, they say, hey, LeBron James uses this, or be like Mike, be like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, likes this product, so you should. So James does something similar. He says, you know what? I'm going to hold up a very famous person to you, Abraham. There's no one more famous than Abraham to this Jewish audience that James is sharing his wisdom for. And he says, if he could demonstrate that Abraham faith involved works. He believed that it would help them understand their faith needed to have works as well, all right? So he, first of all, he puts forward Abraham, and he makes this statement, verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Verse 22, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed. Now again, this word completed is a very important word in the book of James. It was made perfect, mature. Remember, his whole topic is about things that are complete or mature, exactly how God wants them to be, right? He says, his faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called, what, a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab. Now he's going to use another biblical example, okay, an example from history and from scripture. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works? And you're all going to go, ah! Wait, what are the works of a prostitute? Don't answer that, right? But is this a good, moral, perfect person? And he says, this prostitute, this woman whose life was full of sin, was what? She was justified by works. When she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Verses 21 through 24, what James is saying is that Abraham's faith produced what? What was the result of his faith? Abraham, we know he's a genuine follower of Yahweh, the God of the Bible. He's the real deal. He's genuine follower of God. And what did we see in his life? That this type of faith in Yahweh, or the God of the Bible, Jehovah, this type of faith did something in Abraham's life. It produced works. Turn to another passage of scripture here. Romans chapter 4. Would you turn to Romans chapter 4? Because again, just like last week, I had to make this clear. I want to make it clear once again what Paul is taught as well. Do not forget, although we're saying, and James says here very clearly that Abraham was justified by works. Look at what Paul says. He says the exact opposite. Romans 4, verse 2, For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So again, as we are learning and listening to James, I want us to keep the totality of Scripture's teaching in mind. All right? Abraham was saved by what, according to Scripture here in Romans? He was saved by his belief. He was saved by faith. Abraham was justified by what, according to Romans 4? Justified by faith and not by works. So keep that in mind, and then we're going to try to reconcile what James is saying and how can they both be saying the same thing or opposite things and both be right. Let's go back to James now for a moment. James chapter 2, verse 21. Abraham, the point here, what it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Now here, when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar. So what is James saying? He is saying that Abraham was justified by genuine, pure faith. And genuine, pure, saving faith produces works. It just doesn't talk the talk, right? It walks the walk. Are you with me? He's saying here in verse 21 that Abraham's faith was the real deal. And we know that when we evaluate Abraham's life, we know that because his faith made him do something. It produced a work. Verse 22, and that this work, all right, or this faith was completed by works, verse 22. He says, you see that faith was active, what? Along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. You see, his faith was proven genuine. It was made mature or complete. It was bona fide by what? What he did. Abraham wasn't somebody who just went around telling, talking the talk. Abraham walked the walk. And so if he's the model of what it means to be a true man of faith, follower of Jesus, how do we know that? Or a follower of God in this case, how do we know that? You simply need to see if his walk or his actions were consistent with what he said with his mouth. Look at Hebrews 11. We're going to look at another place that talks about Abraham's faith and Abraham's works and how it tries to reconcile both of these. You see, James is saying true faith is always seen. True, genuine faith isn't just somebody going around, I believe this, or yeah, you should do that. He says true, genuine faith produces works. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 17. By faith, when he was tested, verse 17, so Hebrews 11, 17, by what? By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises was not in the act of offering up his son only, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. Now look at verse 19. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. So what is the point of Hebrews here? What is he saying? Abraham's actions or works were the result of Abraham's faith, right? Or beliefs or faith. How do we know that Abraham truly believed God's promises? Abraham says, yes, I believe, Lord, that you are a God who keeps his word. I'm going to follow you. I dedicate my life to you, and I give my life to you. How do we know that when Abraham, declared that he was a follower of the one true God, how do we know? It's when he offered up his son. Why? Because it demonstrates he truly believed when God said, through your son Isaac, all nations will be blessed. If he did not believe that Isaac was the son of promise and that God was going to bless the entire world through him, he would never have offered him to God as a sacrifice. And Hebrews chapter 11 gives insight, because he said, Abraham believed even if Isaac were to die, he believed in his heart that God would raise him from the dead. Did you see that? He had every confidence in God's word, so he was willing to sacrifice his son because he believed his son would rise from the dead, because God's promises were sure and certain. What a statement of faith. His work did what? It demonstrated his faith. His offering his son demonstrated that he truly believed, and it demonstrates from generation to generation that he was sincere, that he was the real deal. Again, what is James? Now back to James. What is James saying? Well, verse 24, James is saying that Abraham's faith cannot be separated from Abraham's works, and neither can your faith and my faith. True, genuine followers of Christ are not pretenders. They're not playing a part. They're the real deal. And if you'll watch their lives and watch their action and watch their works, you're going to see that faith, that belief in Jesus Christ, that commitment to the God of the Bible is going to make a difference. It's going to be seen in how they live. Again, verse 17, back up, you'll see this kind of circular kind of logic that James uses. He says, show me your faith, verse 17 of chapter 2. Show me your faith apart from your works. He says, it can't be done necessarily. Maybe there's this hypothetical situation, and we talked about this last week, like the thief on the cross. Thief on the cross never had to do anything to go get to heaven because he was saved by simply looking to Jesus. He was a sinner. He was a thief. He didn't have a chance to work the work. Yes, you can find one example. And James says, yes, sure, there's that out there. But when it comes to practical Christian living, he says, I'll show you something better. You can show me one example of somebody who's saved apart from works. But he says, if you really want to be practical, if you really want to be a follower of Christ, show your faith by your works. I will show you my faith by my works, verse 17. Imagine if somebody kept saying, I'm a follower of God, I'm a follower of God, I'm a follower of God. And yet, as you watched him, everything that God asked him to do, he failed to do, or she failed to do. Would you believe they were a true follower? Now, is it possible that they are? Yeah, because only God knows their heart. Yeah, I'm sure. But again, we can't view and judge like God can view and judge. And he is the one who judges man's hearts and man's motives and man's actions. But as we examine ourselves, as we look at ourselves and we consider, like communion asks us to do in 1 Corinthians 11, it says, let a man examine himself. And as we search our hearts and we look at our lives and say, am I in communion with God? Am I a genuine believer? We have to consider not what we say, not our statements of faith, but what do we do? Has this faith produced any fruit? Because if it's genuine, it is. What did Jesus say? A tree is what? Known by its fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. Then we also see here Rahab's faith produced works. Look at, again, and that's verse 25. Look at Hebrews 11.
Hebrews 11, verse 31, it says, by faith, what? Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she was given, or because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. You see, that faith is the emphasis in Hebrews. By faith, but that genuine faith of Rahab, she just didn't say, oh, I believe there's a God, and I believe that God is the God of Moses and Joshua and Abraham and Isaac. He's the true God. She didn't just say she believed to the spies. She did something. In fact, in this case, she risked her very life to protect the spies who came to look at Canaan land and the land of Jericho. She put her neck on the line. She did something. She was proven genuine by her actions. I want to close today by again looking at, just considering some of these scriptural examples. Turn to, are you still in Hebrews 11, or do you have a finger there? Go back to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 says this, that true faith transforms, just like James does. True faith transforms. It makes somebody come alive, and it begins to do this work in their life. And we see many, many examples of all these great men and women of faith in Scripture. Verse 6, it says of Hebrews 11, without what? Faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to do the works that please God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, without faith, do you have faith? If you have faith, that faith is going to begin to work in your life, and you're going to do something that pleases God. So what do we see as these men and women of faith? Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel, what did he do? He had faith. By faith, Abel offered. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. What did Enoch do? He's a man of faith. Look at him. He's an example of what it means to be a follower of God, somebody who follows and walks after God. By faith, verse 5, Enoch pleased. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. What did Noah do? He had faith. He constructed. Verse 8, by faith, we've already, in verse 17, by faith, Abraham obeyed. Verse 17, Abraham offered. Now we have an example of a woman in verse 11. By faith, Sarah, what did she do? Conceived and considered. You see, her faith produced a work. By faith, Sarah conceived and considered. Without her faith, she would never have conceived. She never would have considered what God had promised and believed in that. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac, what did he do? Invoked. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob, what did he had faith, so we have to assume he did something. What did Jacob's faith, genuine faith, produce? Jacob blessed. By faith, verse 22, Joseph gave directions. Verse 23, by faith, Moses was hidden. This is talking about the faith of his parents and his sister Miriam. By faith, Moses was hidden, verse 23. By faith, Moses refused, verse 24, left 27, and kept Passover 28. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea, verse 29. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, verse 30. And again, back to the example James gave us in James chapter 2, verse 31, by faith Rahab gave a friendly welcome and did not perish. Look at verse 39. All of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should what? Not be what? Made complete or made perfect. You see how James and what the author of Hebrews is saying fits perfectly together, and even the text that Paul draws on to teach about faith. What do we find? True, genuine, saving faith does something. Now, I want you to think about your own life this morning. Has your commitment to Jesus Christ, you said, I'm a believer, I'm a follower, I believe he died on the cross for my sin. If that is true, then it needs to have made a difference, because true, genuine, saving faith, mature, perfect, complete faith produces the work God wants to accomplish through us. We already even saw that in Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by what? Faith we're saved, right? It's not a result of what works, right? But what does he say in verse 10? You were created, or you were saved not by works, but for good works. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? To do good works, which God beforehand prepared for us to do. So as you look at your life today and you say, you know what, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm committed. I believe in him. It's time for a gut check and say, is my walk matching the way I talk? I made a confession of faith this morning in singing. I made a confession of faith by sharing communion. But am I truly a follower of God? And as we look next week, James is about to meddle. And I'm gonna tell you right now, teenagers, this is gonna be really applicable to you next week when we talk about this. Next week we're gonna talk about favoritism. And James is gonna say, if you are a true follower of Jesus Christ, you cannot, must not, will not show favoritism to others.